Blog Talk Radio.
What you working for? Going hard. A big house, a new car. Lead your life like a Hollywood star. But do you know who you are? Or do you know what your purpose on earth is? All the materials you worship is worth it. It ain't about money, cars, and clothes, and everything that glitter ain't gold.
Hustle, hustle, hustle.
Hustle, hustle, hustle.
What are you hustling for?
Good question.
You say it's all about the money, and not perfection of your soul. In the gutter where your mind at. Ooh, I bet the devil like that. We let him have his fun, but now we got him on the run. Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black Jaguar.
Black on black Jaguar.
Bilal is the Jaguar.
Bilal is the Jaguar.
Hamam is the Jaguar.
Hamam is the Jag.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black Jaguar.
Black on black Jaguar.
Bilal is the Jaguar.
Bilal is the Jaguar.
Hamam is the Jaguar.
Hamam is the Jag. Sublime with the punchline. Spiritual warrior. Live from the front line. My third eye is precise as a bird's eye. Everything looks small. That's what I call fly. Before your past words got us decoded, I'm lyrical with minds. Witness the explosion. The mouthpiece carries 16 rounds. Every 16 bars, another MC down. Do what I wanna do, the architect told me to. Destroy all you sellouts and who you sold it to. I came to bring the game, freedom and justice. Ain't no equality, ain't nobody hot as me. The techniques and bias of my survival. Lyrically, I can go my life unrivaled. Microphone checker, the diabolic one is the oppressor. But in this case, we the aggressors. I'm on a higher echelon, enlightenment. The sun is absorbed by my melanin. Black Jaguars, we the best, gotta represent. Devils hate to see a black man with intelligence. Praise to Allah, I deliver the message with poetic justice, rhythm and eloquence. He left his message with those who believe it happened in the divine rhyme scheme of things. They won't beef, but I'm a vegetarian. One nation under God, soldier Samaritan. Now everybody raise your right hand and say, permission to fall in to Muhammad right.
Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Muhammad got the devil on the run.
That's right.
Farrakhan got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Jesus got the devil on the run.
That's right.
We got the devil on the run.
Yes, sir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black Jaguar.
Black on black Jaguar.
Bilal is the Jaguar.
Bilal is the Jaguar.
Hamam is the Jaguar.
Hamam is the Jag.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah Akbar.
Black on black Jaguar.
Black on black Jag.
Bilal is the Jaguar.
Bilal is the Jaguar.
Hamam is the Jaguar.
Hamam is the Jag.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is his messenger. And I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder, our comforter, our leader, our teacher, our guide. And I greet all of you, the listening audience, those of you who are joining us via chat, on Blog Talk as well as in Google and Yahoo, and of course those of you who have so graciously joined us by phone, and of course our distinguished host, Brother James Muhammad, and our greeting words of peace, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, sir. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to present to you He needs no introduction. A man who has worked continuously and who continuously works to assist the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan in his mission to reach all of our people. And he is passionate about this work, and he has demonstrated that passion and that love with over 40 years of service. So, without further ado, of course, I would like to present to you Student Minister James Muhammad from Tampa, Florida. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam, and of course, Ramadan Mubarak. And
Ramadan
I am
Kareem.
Fine by Almighty God, Allah's grace. You know, as I listen to the opening music, of course, I'm a big fan of hip-hop. I mean, anyone that knows me knows that. However, I might consider for this month to have something a bit more spiritual, a bit more sedate and appropriate for our observation of this holy month of Ramadan. I'll have to give it some thought. And you as well, dear sister. And of course, our listening audience, you certainly can weigh in on it if such you desire to do. As always, in the name of Allah, with the help and assistance of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, the Lord of the worlds, we can never thank Allah enough for making his appearance known to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he making it known to all of us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great, great, great Mahdi. And of course, we are thankful to Allah and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom we have been given the wonderful example of the quality of a human being. He is deliverer, he is warner, he is reminder. And I refer to him as my personal redeemer. The man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Once again, it is my great privilege and honor to be able to greet our listening audience in this and on this wonderful format extended to us by our beloved sister, Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad. With the greeting words of peace, once again, we say it in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
And as always, by the grace of Almighty God, Allah, and the guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we use this time and this format to discuss the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's timely and most significant lecture series entitled The Time and What Must Be Done, with particular and specific emphasis and focus on his latest installment entitled Why Did God Make Devil? And as always, we enlist the participation of our listening audience, both on the phone and online. We want to make this a discussion. It is, in fact, a time to study. And each of us benefits from each of us whenever any of us has something to offer in the way of our understanding of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's words. Again, he has asked us to reproduce these words, to spread these words throughout the social media, on Twitter and Facebook, and of course, this wonderful medium, the Blog Talk Radio medium. And this is what, by the help of Allah, we are attempting to do to the best of our ability. But before we get into the subject matter, I really would like to talk on our subject matter. Who is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? Dear family, regrettably, some of you are out there questioning what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is stating, questioning his authority, questioning whether or not he is consistent with the teachings and guidance of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, if we don't see him in Scripture or through the lens of Scripture, then we really don't see him. And so I'd like to take a peek through the lens of Scripture that deals with and relates to both the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Let us begin by going to the chapter Exodus, the first verse, wherein it states, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." Let us go to Deuteronomy 18 and 15. "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me," meaning like unto Moses. "Unto him ye shall hearken." And Allah talking in this same chapter, he states, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." Again, in Acts 3 and 22, we read, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Now, let us, if we can, keep in mind the first verse that I read and connect it to those that follow that first verse. We're going to go now to the Quran. In the seventh surah or chapter entitled The Elevated Places, the 142nd verse, we read, "And we appointed for Moses 30 nights and completed them with 10. So the appointed time of his Lord was complete 40 nights. And Moses said to his brother Aaron, Take my place among my people and act well and follow not the way of the mischief makers." Now, brothers and sisters, and all of you who are listening, if God is saying through Moses and also directly to Moses that he's going to raise up a prophet like unto him, then this begs the question, why would God have to raise up another prophet like unto Moses, except that the circumstances that surrounded the historical Moses 4,000 years ago would repeat themselves in a later time? If a prophet like Moses is to be raised up, then there must also be a Pharaoh, and there must also be an Egypt, and there must also be a children of Israel who are enslaved under the harsh and brutal taskmasters of Egypt and Pharaoh. Well, it is no difficulty for us to look at the condition of black people and historically count how long we have been here in America, for 450 years, in a strange land with a strange people, suffering under the lash of slave masters, shackled both physically and mentally to an enemy who, like Pharaoh, has a disposition of mind that the slaves belong to him. But look at what the first verse stated. Look, Moses, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh, and Aaron is your prophet. I want us to think about that. The most honorable Elijah Muhammad said to the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan, and it is a matter of record, he stated that that Master Farad Muhammad is making me to take his place among the people, and I, meaning the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, am making you, talking to the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan, to take my place among the people. So as the Quran states that Moses took the mantle of leadership and put it on the shoulders of Aaron, so it is that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad took the mantle of leadership and the mission that God had placed on his shoulders, on the shoulders of the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan. Hence, he said before he departed, and note that I said departed, not died, but departed. He said, when you see him, look at him. When he speaks, listen to him. Where he tells you to go, go. And where he tells you to stay from, stay from. He said that this is a man that will get you across the river on his shoulders. And when he gets to the other side, he won't say, look what I have done. He will say, look what Allah has done, because he is a very humble brother. And then he said, I say to you, continue to hear our minister Farrakhan. So in the first verse that I read, God has, according to his own word, made Moses a god to Pharaoh and Aaron his prophet. Well, are you saying that the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan is the prophet? No, 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 no. I'm not saying that at all. He's more than a prophet. This is not the day and time for the need of prophets. This is the day and time for the need of God. And if you recall in the scriptures, Aaron had power even as Moses had power. The scripture is replete with Aaron bringing plagues on Pharaoh in Exodus. It was Aaron who was told to hold out his staff and bring plagues on the land of Egypt. It was Aaron who was told to hold out his hand over the waters, and the waters became blood and frogs and lice and other vermin became at a plague-like state on Egypt and Pharaoh and his people. I could say it very simply, dear family. You cannot be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and not be a follower of the man that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad left in his stead to sit in the seat of leadership as the father over the house in his absence. And that is the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan. Now, I ask you, Who is going to Pharaoh today? Who is in that tradition of liberating people? Who is speaking truth to power with no army, no navy, no air force, no marines, just a word proceeding forth from his mouth? And that word is a two-edged sword, tearing down and rooting out falsehood. Warning President Barack Obama, warning the government of the United States and the kingdoms of the world of their errant ways, and trying to inspire them back to the right path. Well, what kind of plagues is he bringing upon America? Well, where have you been? You don't see the inordinate snow, the inordinate rain, the fires, the earthquakes? Where have you been? Who do you think is affecting these kinds of natural disasters? Yes, it is Almighty God, Allah, but through whom is he working? Ezekiel, in the parable of the dry bones of the valley, he was told, "Son of man, prophesy unto the bones." The bones meaning those who are the remnants of that which was once alive, now they're just bones. And of course, the Son of Man prophesied unto the bones, and the bones shaked, they rattled, and they rolled, but they didn't stand up. And so the Son of Man went back to the God and said, "I prophesied unto the bones, and yes, there was some rattling and shaking going on, but they did not stand up." And the God told him, "Don't worry over the bones anymore. Go and prophesy unto the winds." Now, when you prophesy, what you do is to announce what will happen that has not yet happened. And once you speak it, it happens. That's a prophecy. It happens after you speak it. Has not the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan warned America and warned us that when he finished making a certain message, he would say, "Watch the weather"? And has not the weather responded? The God said, "Prophesy unto the wind, and let the winds blow on these slain of God." And when the Son of Man prophesied unto the winds, that is to say, call the winds into action by the permission of God, then the scripture states that the bones stood up an exceeding great army, or an exceedingly great army. So, dear family, those of you who may be of that mindset, when you have a problem with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I say search the scriptures. In them, as Jesus says, you think you have wisdom, but they all testify of him. And I would say that they all testify of them. "Lo, I come," Jesus saying, "in the volume of the book." That means he's in all of them, he and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so, making those introductory remarks, we'll get into the subject matter for the next 15 minutes or so, and then we invite the participation of our wonderful listening audience. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan asked the question in installments 27. Why did God make devil? Well, let's go to the scriptures again. And of course, what we'll be using for foundational stones is the scripture in the Bible in Genesis, in the 26th verse. And God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Well, that's the 26th verse. But it is not God's recorded first act of creation. From Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way up to the 26th verse, God is creating. He's creating the stars, the moon. He's creating the sun. He's creating the great lights, the lesser lights. He's creating the beasts of the field. He's creating the planets. He's creating the earth. He, singularly and independently creating these things. However, when he comes to the 26th verse, the question should be asked, well, what happened, God? After all this creation that you have brought by yourself, why now are you asking for assistance? And it even sounds like you're asking for permission. And God said, "Let us." Well, what do you mean, us? Who are you talking to, God, since according to our understanding, you're the only one around before you created man? What does that word us mean? According to the dictionary, the word us is a nominative plural of I, used to denote oneself and another or others. And so, in God saying, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness," he's enlisting the help of somebody. And let us give him dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish in the sea, and everything or every creeping thing that crawls. And, of course, the cattle, over everything. But let us make man. Well, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us from the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that this is referencing the making of the white man. Now, there may be some white listeners out there who would take issue with that. And of course, you would assert that we all were created by God. Well, in a sense, that is correct. However, you must adjust your language, because to create something means you start from nothing and bring something into existence. But you didn't start from nothing. You started from the original man, the black man and the black woman. Now, I know you might want to accuse us of black supremacist teaching or racist teaching, but with a dispassionate mind, think about it and then ask the question. Since we're both here as a people, can two white people produce a yellow offspring? Well, it doesn't take long to get the answer to that. Of course not. Can two white people produce a brown offspring? Well, certainly not. Well, can two white people produce a red offspring? And of course, the answer follows, certainly not. Which means that you can only produce after your own kind. Now, this is a biological, genetic fact. Not racism, not black supremacist teaching, but a biological fact. But on the other hand, black man has in him all people. You can get yellow out of black. You can get brown out of black. You can get red out of black. And you can get, of course, black out of black, but you can also get white out of black. And since we are both here and you can't produce us, it stands to reason that we produced you. Now, we're not bragging over this. This doesn't make us better as such. Look at the condition of black people. Look at how we are in an inferior position here in America and throughout the world. So I can't brag that we are better as a result of our make or our creation. No, that's your assertion that you are better as a result of your make. Now let's go to the Quran. In the second surah, the 30th verse, we read, "And when thy Lord said to the angel, I am going to place a ruler in the earth, they said, wilt thou place in it such as make mischief in it and shed blood? And we celebrate thy praise and extol thy holiness. He said, surely I know what you know not. I am going to place a ruler in the earth. And this ruler, according to the scriptures, is going to be a mischief maker and a shedder of blood." Well, look at the history of the Caucasian since he has been on our planet. Even some of his own scholars attest to this extremely aggressive and violent nature of the white man. Look at what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan read. According to what some of the white scholars have said about their own people. Give me one moment, I'm sorry. Okay. You may ask, what makes people like that? What drives people like that? This frustration and disappointment that our desires were not realized. There is a writer named Michael Bradley, not a black man, but a white man, who, in his book titled The Iceman Inheritance, Prehistoric Sources of Western Man's Racism, Sexism and Aggression, raises the question or questions about his own white race. Why are we like this? When speaking of the aggressive and destructive acts of the Caucasians, Mr. Bradley writes on page 13 of that same book, "Precisely because we realize ourselves to be unstable, much effort has been expended in attempts to make sense out of our own apparent senseless behavior." And on page 28, he writes, "I will propose in this essay that the white race possesses an atypical level of aggression." What is the definition of atypical? It is an adjective that means unusual, untypical, uncommon, unconventional, unorthodox, irregular, abnormal, anomalous, aberrant, and deviant. Page 14, Mr. Bradley states, "It is in the sphere of abnormal violence that we Caucasoids excel among races. Intellectual violence is statistically rare among other races. Intellectual violence is typical of Caucasoids. Our wars of religion, our inquisition, our philosophical conflicts have no parallel among yellow, red, brown, or black. It is this kind of violence that makes our history appear senseless to other men and senseless and baffling even to ourselves. When Mr. Bradley suggests that scarcity of resources and survival of day-to-day cave life is what caused Caucasians to become so aggressive, he states on page 26, the Caucasoids, uniquely among the races of mankind, evolved in a glacial or cold environment. There is an increasing body of scientific data suggesting that this group of men did develop in a narrow zone of life between fire and ice, between the cave fires and the savage cold. Let's stop right there and go to, I want to give those of you who have not necessarily earned this, a peek into what we call the supreme wisdom. In the supreme wisdom given to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in lesson number one, in the fourth question, it reads, why did we run Yaqub and his made devil from the root of civilization over the hot desert into the caves of West Asia, as they now call it Europe? Well, that's part of it, and I think that's enough right now, and it attests to what Mr. Bradley is saying regarding the cave-like lifestyle of the Caucasoid or the Caucasian. Yes, he was in the caves and emerged out of the caves, but you all never asked how he got there. Praise be to Allah, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan continues to teach us how he got there. I am going, not Brother James, this is Allah talking now, I am going to place a ruler in the earth. They said, meaning the angels, wilt thou place in it such as make mischief in it and shed blood? And we celebrate thy praise and extol thy holiness. He said, surely I know what you know not. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for allowing us to make those introductory remarks. And now, dear Queen Aziza, I'll ask you if there's anyone in queue who'd like to pose a question or just to make a comment. We are hopeful that you all in our listening audience will join this conversation.
Yes, sir. We don't have any by phone, but we do have some in the chat room. But let me remind the listening audience, those of you who are on our Blog Talk chat, please type in your question, and I will ask it on your behalf. And those of you, my wonderful friends and my new friends down in Florida, I see y'all out there. If y'all have a question or a comment, please press 1 on your dial pad. And, of course, we'll bring you in live. And Brother James, I'm going to start out with a question from Miss Anonymous, who wants to know, how do you get white out of black? I think
that's,
she's referring
great,
to a comment that you made.
Yes, ma'am. That's an excellent question. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, and the minister again continues to teach us. And by the way, I would recommend to the questioner that they get the book entitled Message to the Black Man in America by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that has a whole chapter dealing with the question that you just posed. If you study the genetic makeup of the black man, you will find that in him, not you necessarily, but geneticists have found that in the black man is both the black germ and the brown germ. And in the ability, or with the ability, to what would be called genetic engineering, you can separate the lighter germ from the darker. This the father of white people did. His name was Yaqub. He was a scientist. And 6,600 years ago, he embarked upon this experimental genetic engineering. Through genetic manipulation, you can separate the lighter gene from the darker gene. You must understand that, as the Bible teaches us, from one blood came all people. Then we have to ask, who has the capability to produce all people? And as we have just stated earlier on, white people cannot produce anything other than themselves. But back to your question. By separating the lighter germ gene from the darker one through a process of genetic engineering, genetic manipulation, you can produce a lighter strain of the original. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that Yaqub, the father of white people, he, in that process, separated the lighter germ from the darker germ and then isolated the darker germ, killed off the darker germ by way of killing the black babies when they were born. And if a brown or lighter child was born, he would allow that one to live. There's a whole lot more to it, which I'm not going to get into. However, through the process of killing the darker and saving the lighter, and then marrying the lighter onto the lighter, killing the darker and saving the lighter, marrying the lighter onto the lighter, you can isolate the darker gene and the lighter gene, to ultimately you will graft the result into the apex of the black germ, which is the Caucasian. And if you notice, he is absent of color, has very little melanin. He is absent of the ability that black folks have to stay in the sun. He's a grafted individual. The Bible teaches you and me, in Genesis it is stated, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took them for wives. Well, what does that mean? Fair could mean, of course, that you're just, you're measured, you're equal. But fair, according to the look of it, means light or white. Now, the Genesis is saying the sons of God, black men, saw the daughters of men, white women, that they were fair, and took them for wives. And integration, I mean, began in the Holy Land. Now, this is a very brief explanation of it, but I would ask you, dear questioner, my dear sister, go and look it up for yourself. Don't take our word for it. Look up the geneticists and their position regarding the dominant and the recessive genes. I'll give you a name, Mendel, one of the well-known white geneticists of the Caucasian family. He said, dark skin is dominant, light or fair skin is recessive. He said dark hair is dominant, colored hair, meaning blonde, brown, red, is recessive. He said, you can get the recessive from the dominant, but you can't get the dominant from the recessive. So, in brief, through a process of genetic engineering, and if you've ever seen black couples, you'll see that we are capable of producing every color in the spectrum of human color. But white people cannot produce any color other than their own lack of color. And so it is a process of genetic engineering, dear sister. And again, don't take my word for it. Don't take the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's or the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's word for it. Go and study genetic engineering. Look up that name, Mendel. There are others, but he is one of the most popular.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother James. We also have a question from Brother Kenneth, who says, Please explain what you mean by what by somebody else saying, let us make man.
Okay.
I guess.
Well, as I stated, if Brother Kenneth, if you would get your Bible and read, beginning with Genesis chapter 1 all the way up until chapter 26, you will see that up until chapter 26, God is doing all of this creation by himself. But in the 26th verse, it reads, and God said, let us make man in our image. Well, that means he's talking to somebody. Now, I'm going to ask you, Brother Kenneth, what is an image? Is an image you, or is it a reflection of you, something that looks like you? When you look in the mirror, my dear brother, what do you see? Do you see you, or do you see the image of you? It looks like you, but it's not you. So if God is telling others, let us make man in our image, he's saying, let us make someone that looks like us. They're not necessarily us, but they look like us. When the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says, this is Yaqub, the father of white people, talking to 59,999 of his followers. He is saying, let us make a man in our image and after our likeness. And this is why you have the terms man and mankind. There's a man, but then there's also a kind of a man, meaning he's in the image and likeness of a man, but he's not original man.
Okay. let me just say this. Brother Kenner, I'm not going to debate with you, and we're not going to debate with you. Brother James has answered your question. If you have additional questions, you can tweet Student Minister James Muhammad at – go ahead and give him your Twitter address, Brother James, in case he wants to talk to you further.
Yes, ma'am. Certainly, Brother Kenneth. It's at JM Region 7 Helper. At JM Region 7 Helper. And all that we say from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we're not asking you and or expecting you to take what we say on face value. Check it out yourself.
Yes,
and perhaps maybe when you read it in white folk book, you'll believe it.
Okay. I want to give the callers on the phone an opportunity to ask a question. We just had an influx of calls come in. I understand that the Blog Talk chat room is full, but if all of you who are on the phones, if you have a question, let me remind you to press 1 on your dial pad, and we will take your questions. Don't make me call you out, Brother Joseph, Brother Byron. I see y'all out there. But press 1 on your dial pad. And, Brother James, we have a couple more questions in the chat room. One is from someone who calls himself King One, and he said that I heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan speaking about disappointment, and it made me reflect back on the situation with the Trayvon Martin case. The disappointment has been shown by many people about the Trayvon Martin case. Did Zimmerman experience momentary insanity when he could not control Trayvon Martin? Many of us have died due to the white men who act this way. Is momentary insanity what the minister spoke of the cause?
Well, the minister is absolutely on point regarding the effects of disappointment, the potential effects of disappointment. But I would say that that is not, nor was it, the case where Zimmerman and our brother Trayvon Martin was concerned. This is a man that decided to pursue this young brother, this young black child. This was a man who made the statement, "These assholes always get away." So he already had in his mind the intention to stop him. He even fabricated a crime in his mind to justify his action. And even when he was told to stand down, he was intent upon confronting Brother Trayvon Martin. So he wasn't insane. In fact, they're not insane when they do these things. They're acting out of their nature. And I know that Jesus said, according to Scripture, "Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do." But I have to say that the white man has been killing us for 450 years. He's become an expert at what he's doing. No, it wasn't any kind of momentary insanity. No, he was acting out of his nature and a frustrated desire to become some law enforcement agent. Let me say right here, unfortunately, dear family, as horrendous and as egregious the crime was, how as tragic as the crime was, the death was of Trayvon Martin, there's another young brother that was killed in a similar fashion, under similar circumstances, over there in Milwaukee. They're acting out of their nature, and this Stand Your Ground law gives them a legislative justification to act out of their nature. By nature, they don't love us. By nature, they want to destroy us. By nature, they cannot identify a young black child being a child of theirs. And you had six women who, some I'm sure, were mothers, but they had absolutely no identification or empathy with the death of a 17-year-old boy. Why? Because he was black. And you know, and I know, that if the situation was reversed, if Zimmerman had been killed, they wouldn't have had a problem arresting immediately Trayvon Martin.
Yes, sir.
No, this was an act, this was outright racism. But we're not surprised, it is their nature. And what we have to understand is the nature of the people that we are dealing with. It is a nature of lying, murder, and how to master the original man. So, no, it wasn't momentary insanity, brother. They were acting out of their nature.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, we have a caller on the line, so I'm going to open up the line for area code 314. That looks like St. Louis. Assalamu alaikum. Your mic is live. Oh, my goodness. Who is this?
Assalamu alaikum, and first and foremost, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, in the name of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the exalted Christ, and in the name of our Redeemer in our midst today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Again, I say Assalamu alaikum, and I want to thank you all for being here for me and for us, so that we can have this truth, so there's no question about what's going on. How are you this evening, Queen Aziza, and how are you, Student Minister James Muhammad?
I'm on top of the world. All praises due to Allah. And how are you, dear brother?
I'm fine. All praises due to Allah. I definitely cannot complain. And
good.
I called in. I've been busy, so I definitely can't complain. Allah is blessing me now in a fiduciary manner.
Well, excellent.
Yes, sir.
You should be here on the show, brother. Helping Queen Aziza out.
Well, that's why I'm taking the time to call in. I didn't get a chance to call in last night or to be on last night. However, I did get a chance to call in this evening.
All right.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. So
happy to hear you, brother.
Yes, sir. Happy to be here. And I wanted to share a couple of things, but because I do have a question, and it relates to which we're going to hear an extended version of tomorrow. I can't wait. But part two of, and that is my question. But in line with what you just said, you talked about how this devil was produced. And I agree with you 100%. No, there's no insanity involved. Like you said, they're acting right out of their nature. Because it tells us, it says, it asks the question, it says, what is devil? It says, devil is a grafted man which is made weak and wicked, or any grafted live germ from original is devil. And then it asks the question, it says, can you reform devil? And the answer is explicitly no. That all the prophets have tried to reform him, but were unable to. So they have agreed that it cannot be done unless we graft him back into the original man, which takes 600 years. So instead of losing time grafting him back, they have decided to take him off the planet. Bottom line is, it's 100% separation, complete separation is the only answer in the wake of the popularized assassination of our young brother Trayvon Martin. It should be evident, since nothing happens without Allah's permission. And let's not forget, it was on February 26th, the birthday of our Savior, that this happened. It's a sign. If you can read it, it's time to go. It's open season on us. It's time to go. But let me get to my question. My question is this. It says, since that being the case, then why did God make devil? And that's my question to you, brother. Since he's so wicked, since he can't be reformed, since he has nothing but death and destruction in his heart for us as a people, while we are so loving and forgiving, why did God make devil?
That's an excellent question. I want to go back to the supreme wisdom. You all who are not registered Muslims are getting a treat, because this book really is relegated to specifically for those who are registered Muslims. However, I by the grace of Allah, we'll give you a peek into it. In the, let me find it right here, in lesson number 2.
Yes, sir.
That question is posed. Then why did God make them? The answer is to show forth his power, that he is all wise and righteous, that he could make a devil which is weak and wicked, and give the devil power to rule the earth for 6,000 years, and then destroy the devil in one day without falling victim to the devil's civilization. Now, let's look at what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has stated. If we bear witness that God is the creator of everything, and we do bear witness to that fact, don't we, Brother Kareem? You there? Did I lose you?
No, sir, I'm here.
Oh, okay, very good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely, I bear witness. God created everything.
Right. Well, if God created everything, then he had to make devils.
Come on.
Now, let's look at this scripture in a deeper sense from the teachings of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the explanation of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And when thy Lord said to the angels, I am going to place a ruler in the earth, they said, will thou place in it such as make mischief in it and shed blood? Well, we all come up out of the earth. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So in the deeper understanding of that particular scripture, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says that it's referencing putting a mind in the body of the human being that comes up out of the earth. Some of the example he gives is that the bones of the body represents the stones in the earth. He said, look at your hand and its venal expression. That is to say, look at the veins that are running throughout your hand. It's reminiscent of the leaves. So the ruler that God is putting in the earth is actually the human mind that is in the earth and in its stage of evolutionary growth and development. He initially is going to cause mischief and the shedding of blood. All of us go through this stage, so says the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And in the study guides, beginning with the self-improvement lecture, the basis of community development, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan writes, look at a child. What makes a child want to be the center of attention? Have you seen your children? You have been one, probably still are. How many of us want to be the center of attention? Hey, look at me. Ha ha, he writes. Why do you think people go into show business? They want to get attention. And when people shower attention on them, they feel so good. They become a star. They become great. Then they begin to think they are different. They talk different. It takes time for the child to mature to realize that there are others in this world other than himself. I want you to look now, writes the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Don't look at anybody else. Look at yourself, because I'm talking to you. If the child does not get attention, he resorts to destructive means to get it. God is a life giver, but God also is a destroyer. The same power is within us. We can give life, but we can also destroy. So if we don't get attention, we break the party up. If the organization won't recognize my tremendous skill and ability, I'll break the organization up. Look at you. If the church won't recognize that I can sing better than anybody in the choir and give me a solo, then the hell with the choir, I'll break it up. Well, what is that mindset? It is a childlike mindset that says, if I am not the center of attention, if I am not the ruler, if I am not in charge, then I will destroy the earth. And then the last installment of these lecture series, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan shared with us that this is the mindset of some of the Israeli leaders. They have weaponry. They're backed by America, who has boasted that they have enough nuclear armament to kill the whole world several times over, everyone in the world. And their mindset is, if I can't stay in rulership, then I will take down everyone else with me. Well, that's the mindset of a child. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Well, if God is the creator, then as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, there is an aspect of God that is devil. So in the process of perfecting the human being, and as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, you cannot get a perfect world until you perfect the human being. There had to be a process by which that which is in the human being could be brought out of the human being, that as of an adverse nature can be brought out of the God, given form, and then destroyed, which will facilitate the process of perfection and completion. The Bible says, his wisdom, let he that hath understanding count the number of the beast. It is the number of the man. Well, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated in previous broadcasts that the number of the beast is six and the number of the man is six. That number six represents incompletion. And since we are all incomplete, moving toward completion and perfection, then we are all under the number six. And as the original man is under the number six, so is any man that comes from the original man. But how do we get him out is the question. And how do we perfect the human being that ultimately we can produce a perfect world? God made devil so that he could manifest what was in himself. Give a picture of that aspect, that adverse aspect of him that he has put in his creation. Give it form. And then eliminate it so that perfection can ultimately be achieved. When God created the universe and created the planets, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says that everything that he created had a wobble in it. The planets are not perfectly round. The sun is not perfectly round. The stars are not perfectly round. So says the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. They have a wobble in them. And anything in motion that is not perfectly round, ultimately the friction of the motion will bring about its destruction. And so as we come up out of the incomplete and imperfect earth, we are incomplete and imperfect. We have a wobble in our nature, which the only thing that could straighten us out is law. And so with the imposition of law, we begin to round out our character. We begin to adhere to the higher self as opposed to the lower self. But the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among men. This Word being flesh is the process of evolutionary development into an ultimately perfect state. Look at what the word Rab means in the Quran. We say in the prayer, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All praises due to Allah, the Lord of the world. That word Rab, so teaches the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, means he who creates a thing and then nurtures it and develops it and evolves it from stage after stage until it reaches its ultimate perfection. The creation or making of devil is part and parcel of the process by which we will ultimately come into that perfected state. And so the Bible says, all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and are called by his purpose. God made devil to facilitate the process by which we could come and he could come into a perfect state, as perfection was his objective. And so Jesus said, be ye perfect, even as I am perfect. It's a painful process, brother. But that devil comes from us.
Yes,
not
sir.
Only does it come from us physically, it comes
okay.
from
Brother
us
Kareem,
mentally.
Brother Kareem, are you still there?
Yes, I am. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, brother. Let me finish the point. Let me finish the point.
Yes, sir.
Because that's a good question. And I want to talk about the devil, the internal devil, from which the external devil comes.
Yes, sir.
See, he couldn't be here if he wasn't already here in us. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan defined devil in his historic Savior's Day address in 1997, where he stated that the devil is deceptive intelligence that rationalizes disobedience to God and makes evil fair-seeming. The devil is a liar. Is that right? But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan asked the question, what causes children to lie? And he shared with us the story of he and his brother stealing cookies from the cookie jar and lying about it. Was the white man there with our brother and his brother? Brother Kareem, you with us?
I have to mute on his phone. He can hear us, but he had some disturbance going on his phone, and I was trying to tell him. But he can hear you, though, Brother James. Go ahead.
All right. Well, let me bring this to a point. The devil is a part of God. And to attest to that reality, he is a part of us who are after God. When a child is discovered doing something that is against the instruction of his parents, he lies. That's a black child, yellow child, red child, it doesn't matter, white child. Why does the child lie? And in the case where it's a black child, is the devil there? Is the Caucasian there? Well, of course the Caucasian is not there. Lying is coming out naturally from the makeup of the child. Why? Because the child's security is threatened. And every human being has an inclination to protect their security or to be made secure. And any time that security is threatened, that human being will do whatever it has to do to protect it. And so lying is in the nature of the human being. And unfortunately, lying came from the originator. Not that he's a liar, but that characteristic of devil came from him. The originator doesn't have to lie because everything that he says, he can make it happen. So he can lie, but he doesn't have to. But the potential, the ability to lie is in every human being. The ability to murder is in every human being. Yes, it is. All we need is motivation and opportunity. The ability to steal is in the human being. All we need is motivation and opportunity. This is why the devil had to be given form. And so the scripture says he came in sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. Flesh is not sinful. And if you take the brain out of the head or the mind out of the flesh, then flesh is nothing. So how then is flesh sinful? And then how did he come in sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh? The flesh being referred to here is that flesh that is the greatest proponent of evil. And we cannot deny it is a historical fact that the Caucasian race has been the most sinful, the most murderous, the most lying, the most stealing for the last 6,000 years on our planet. Their history is written in blood, lying and deceit. Don't get upset with me. When Jesus was in a conversation or discussion with them, and you'll find this in the 8th chapter, the 42nd to the 44th verses, wherein the Jews. Now, I didn't say that. The scripture says that. So don't call us anti-Semitic. It says the Jews said to Jesus, "We be Abraham's seed." When Jesus told them, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free," they said in response, "How be it that thou sayest of us that we shall be made free, when we have never been in bondage to any man?" Then, of course, they said, "Will we be Abraham's seed?" And the response of Jesus was, "Well, if you were Abraham's seed, you would love me, because I proceeded forth from Abraham." He said, "But you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth." And then he said, "I know you. You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye shall do." He was a murderer in the beginning. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of their make. From the time that they were made out of the black man, murder and lying was the ingredients in their makeup. Jesus further stated that they abode not in the truth. He said, "When you speaketh a lie, you speaketh of your own. Or when your father speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own." What does that mean, his own? It means his nature. It means it's something that he didn't have to be taught. It means it's something that he has an inclination to do by nature. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, this is Jesus talking to them. Yet they come out of us. And since we come from God and that was in us, then it must have been in God. And so God made devil. So that he could give the negative aspect of him form. Show us the degree to which we could sink in the way of evil, our potential for evil, and then proceed to destroy it. And I want to say, from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to all who may be listening who are of the Caucasian race, you have an opportunity to be saved. But you have to change your ways. You have an opportunity to save, but this predisposition of you are better because you are white, that has to be destroyed in you. You have an opportunity to be saved, but you must stop practicing evil and oppression, lying and stealing. You're over there in Africa robbing that continent of its rich mineral resources, leaving the people, the indigenous people, in poverty. You're over there in the Middle East starting trouble, upseating justified and duly constitutional leaders and presidents. Look at what's happening in Egypt. I know most of us don't know the source of that, the root of that, what precipitated that, but study the history of your government, the NSA, the CIA. That man Snowden is letting the world know the deceptive and covert activity of these so-called information gathering agencies. They're causing trouble all over the planet and causing mischief and the shedding of blood. That's their nature. And so if you want to take advantage of the small margin of opportunity to be saved, listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He is a mercy in your midst. He is the divine warner of Almighty God Allah. He is the servant of God and his exalted Christ. And he's here trumpeting a warning of salvation for all of us if we would but listen. But it doesn't appear that you will. So it's the nature that is in God, the nature that is in man, that has to be extricated, exercised, and ultimately destroyed. No, you can't reform devil. Devil must be destroyed, but you don't destroy devil by killing flesh. It is not flesh necessarily that makes one a devil. It's a mindset that is manifested in the disposition that I am better because I am white. Am I still on?
Yes, sir. You're teaching hard, sir. We just listening.
Okay. It's
yes,
so
sir.
Quiet. I thought I was disconnected, but I'll close on that point.
No, I wanted to mute my phone because I was typing. I have some more questions from the chat room. I have a question from Sister Stacy, who says, the Supreme Wisdom says we must destroy four devils. What are they? Can Brother James tell us?
You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan shared with us what those four devils were. And you know what? I have to go back and study that. I haven't had to answer that question for quite some time. But I definitely will study it and get the answer. But the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did speak on that. But my, I hadn't had to answer that in so long.
Yes,
it could be. I know it has to do with the spirit, with the mind, with the physical, and there's one more. But I don't want to guess at it, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't want to guess at it either. I thought it had something to do with jealousy and envy.
Well, it very well may. It very well may. But I want to hasten to say, you know, I am a student in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and as such, I certainly am not going to have all the answers, nowhere near all the answers. But we can get them as we study the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's message. And I'll go after that. And next week, inshallah, if you can ask your question again or hit me up, as they say, on Twitter, because I'm going to get the answer to that within the next 24 hours with the help of Allah. Hit me up on Twitter at JM Region 7 Helper. That's an excellent question. Thank you.
Okay. Again, we have some new callers that are calling in. So let me just remind all of you who are listening by phone, if you have a question, please press one on your dial pad. Okay. I have a question from John. John say, why do Muslims say devil is a man and a white man at that? Okay, I don't know if John got on late. I don't know if you want to reiterate that, Brother James.
Sure, I will. Let's look at the methodology that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to raise the black man. He had a hard and has a hard, hard job. At the time that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was raised by Master Farad Muhammad to deliver the black man, there was a certain methodology that he had to use to raise the black man who was at a certain level of consciousness. The way we were acting was absolutely savage. We, as we are today, were the number one murderers of self, the number one robbers of self, the number one disrespecters of self, and our women, the number one brutalizers of ourselves and our women. As a result of being taught this aberrant behavior by the Caucasian, who reduced us in our minds to something less than beasts. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I'm sorry, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a little mixed up there, but really one and the same, he taught us this way, that the white man was and is the devil. Was he wrong? Absolutely not. History bears witness that this man's life was devilishment, especially where it relates to us, black men and women in America, and, of course, the people of color all over the world and some of his own people. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did not falsify anything when he stated that. But look how clever he was. He would teach us the history of our sojourn here in America and what happened to us and at whose hand it happened. And so when we came into the knowledge of what happened to us, what the white man did to us, robbing us of our name, the knowledge of our language, the knowledge of our God, and the knowledge of our religion, when we came into the knowledge of what happened to us in the process of making a slave and then keeping a man a slave, then we develop, I would say, a strong dislike for him. And yes, even a hatred. There was definitely hatred. But look at how wise the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was. He found us addicted to drugs. So he didn't invite us to a halfway house or any 12-step program. All he had to say, after giving us the knowledge of ourselves and the knowledge of our enemy and what they did to us, all he had to say was, look at you. putting the white man's drugs in your arm. And we said, what? This is the white man's drugs? And we threw it away. He said, look at you drinking the white man's alcohol. And after coming into the knowledge of what the white man had done to us, we said, what? This is the white man's alcohol? We threw it away. And he said, look at you smoking the white man's cigarettes. And again, we said, this is the white man's cigarettes? And after coming into the knowledge of what he had done to us, we threw it away. And so overnight, many addicts were clean, cold turkey. Overnight, those of us who used to smoke addictively, we gave it up. Overnight, we stopped drinking. Overnight, sisters stopped giving their bodies away. Overnight, sisters who once bared their legs and their other adornments, covered themselves in dignity. Overnight, we did this. This was the clever methodology of resurrecting the black man in its initial stages of resurrection. This is why the scripture puts in the mouth of the Jesus as he was departing these words. There are many things that I could tell you, but you can't bear them now. Howbeit, when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad couldn't tell us that devil is not flesh necessarily. Devil is deceptive intelligence that rationalizes disobedience to God and makes evil fair seeming. We weren't ready for that kind of wisdom yet. And so through clever methodology, he said, the white man is the devil. And we had a historical reference of the veracity of that teaching, the efficacy and truthfulness of that teaching. And with that teaching, he freed us of the shackles of the white man's negative habits. But today, we know that devil is not limited to any flesh. Devil is found in white flesh or flesh without color. Devil is found in yellow flesh. Devil is found in brown flesh. Devil is found in red and black flesh. It is not flesh. It is the mind that dwells in the flesh that is devil. And so, the identification of the real devil is made by that one who is the Spirit of truth, who is guiding us into all truth, and that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So yes, make no mistake about it, the white man is the devil, but it's not limited to him. You now and we now are more devilish than he. Isn't that white folk driving by in our community, shooting each other down? That's not white folk, that's us. It's not white folk burglarizing us in our communities, destroying us in our communities. Yes, we are upset about the murder of Trayvon Martin at the hands of a Mr. Zimmerman. However, how many have died at the hands of our own people? And why don't we get upset about that? Why don't we protest and rally after that? What is operating in our minds that makes it so easy for us to kill one another, to destroy one another, to disrespect and neglect and brutalize our women and neglect our children? The white man ain't there. That's us doing that to us, bearing witness that there's a devil inside of us. And once we get the devil that is inside of us out of us and destroy it, then the outside devil has nothing to work with on the inside. And the outside devil will die a natural death once we destroy the inside devil. So, yes, that was methodology, dear brother, in our initial stages of resurrection. And it is the truth. And if you don't believe the white man is the devil, then go read his history. You don't really have to do that. Just go in a neighborhood where we're not. Just walk around and see what won't the devil come out of him where you're concerned.
Okay. Okay, I have another question from King One.
Mm-hmm.
King One said that if Allah is coming to make all things new, it appears to be foolish for us to strive for a perfection that we will never reach.
Well,
oh, Lord.
Did you say King One? Is that
King One, that's the online name he uses. I don't know who that is.
Okay. Oh, all right. Well, very good. You know, Allah says in the Quran, man is ever struggling, striving to meet with God. And he will meet him. But what does that mean? It doesn't mean necessarily that at the end of our struggling and our striving, and we eventually meet with God, we walk up to him and shake his hand and say, how you doing, God? Been struggling and striving to meet you. Boy, I'm glad I finally made it. No, to meet with God is to meet with the mind of God, to become one with the mind of God, to become not just a reflection of God, but to become a manifestation of the originator and his power and his supremacy in your own flesh. This is the goal of man, and we will meet that goal. We're moving toward that goal. And you should never think that we will never make it when Jesus said, be ye perfect, even as I am perfect. He said also, or Paul said of him, Jesus, having the form of God, thought it not robbery to be God. In the Psalms it is written, have you not heard or read of the ancients that we are all God's children of the Most High God? Are we going to make it, King One? So stop thinking like that. And the making of things new means that God is going to make a new human being. Not necessarily talking about a new physical universe. That too will happen, but as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan shared with us, that is millions and billions of years away. So we need not concern ourselves with that renewing, because we won't be around. But to make a new mind and a new man, the mind that is absent of inferiority and inordinate superiority, a mind of justice, freedom, and equality, a mind of obedience, total submission to the will of God, that we become one with him. Like Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father, because I and my Father am one. What made him one with the Father was his perfect obedience to the Father. So we're going to make it by the grace of Allah. I can understand how you may think we won't, with all of this devilishment that you see happening throughout the earth. But that's a necessary part of the process. But we'll make it.
Okay, Brother James, I have a question from Sean. I think he's speaking about when you spoke earlier about how to get white out of black.
Mm-hmm.
He said, how did that happen? No such sciences existed at that time.
Well, my dear brother Sean, the enemy would like you to think that he's the author of genetic engineering, but he's not the author of any of the sciences. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that there are 60,000 books of science and mathematics. We only allowed him to have one. And I know that in the eyes of the world, he seems like such a god. He is a god, but he's a lesser god, having only one book of the science and mathematics of the original man. But if you can look into the genetic makeup of a human being, and Brother Sean, I would strongly suggest to you to go to read, dear brother. Read. Go to the library. Read about genetic engineering. Look up these geneticists, Mendel and others. Look at what the enemy is doing. He's putting human genes in food. He's demonstrating that he is the god of this world. And in, as I said before, the human makeup, particularly the black human physiology and biology, there exist two germs or two genetic strains, one darker, one lighter. It's the separation of these genes or germs and the isolation of one from the other and the other from the one that brings about these races. Now ask yourself the question. I know all the races are here, but have you ever asked how we got here? Go read, Brother Sean. That's what I would suggest. Take nothing on face value. Get the book Message to the Black Man, and then you go to the library with Message to the Black Man, and then compare what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said regarding Yaqub and the making of the devil, and then read what the scientists of this world say regarding genetic engineering. You will find that it's consistent. So there is science that exists.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, Brother James, I'm going to have to take you off topic for a moment because okay. Sister S.R.A. says that I have been a registered Muslim for the last 4 years. For the last 4 years, I have been asking my husband to attend mosque meetings with me. He's only gone once in the last 4 years. I am beginning to see why we need to marry to our own kind. I do not want a divorce. Please help save my marriage. Okay. I'll let Brother James give you just some table advice, so to speak. But Brother James, with your permission, if the sister desires to speak with you, can I give her your phone number if you need to talk to her further personally?
Certainly.
I don't know if there's something we can address. Okay.
Absolutely.
So
S-R-A,
I don't know. Okay, I don't know what her name is, but I'm going to, if you, I'll give you Brother James' number, and he can help you further if you like, or talk to your husband if you like. But Brother James, is there anything you want to tell her?
Well, it's difficult to offer advice when you're hearing from one side of the equation. However,
right.
What I will say that there is great difficulty in what may be called interreligious marriage, particularly as a Muslim. Now, there is truth that runs throughout every faith expression, but as a member of the Nation of Islam, there are certain behaviors, laws, rules, and regulations that you have to adhere to that your husband may not agree with. And that, unfortunately, is a reality. But again, I want to say that, and I hope you do call me. I don't know what SRA stands for, but I really hope that you would call me. This happens a lot. It happens a lot in the nation, and it also happens in Christianity, but specifically in the nation, there are innate difficulties in your acceptance of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad when, if your mate does not agree, it's very, very difficult to come to an understanding. And I've seen that happen a lot, but I don't want to necessarily get into it here. I'd be glad to talk with you over the phone with you if you'll give me a call.
Yes, sir.
All
okay.
I can say is
well,
be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Now, that's very, very difficult. It's easy to say, hard to do.
Yes, sir. And Brother James, just briefly, if you will, I just want to say to her that, you know, it's difficult when you accept the teachings and you're already married and your spouse chooses not to go that route. And so instead of maybe insisting that he attends the mosque meeting with you, marriage is about compromise. So compromise. Maybe you can go to church with him. Maybe he can come to the mosque with you. And don't compel him, because there's no compulsion in Islam. And so the best thing that you can do, sister, is let your little light shine, as the Christians say, and be an influence and an inspiration to him. And we're not going to talk any further on it, but I just wanted to offer her that
yes, ma'am.
Bit of advice as well. Yes, sir. And we have a question from the line, area code 563. I think this is our little brother Leon. What you think, Brother James?
Assalamualaikum.
Salam, then, brother. How are you?
I'm just, I'm at work, right? I'm at work. I took a little break. I've been listening off and on, but I got to work third shift tonight. I just want to ask you a question, Brother James.
Yes, sir.
Is there a meaning when you see for like a week and a half sightings of a baby plane? Is there a meaning of that?
Okay, I'm not understanding your question. Is there a meaning you're asking me?
Yes, sir.
Of sighting the baby plane?
Yes. Is there a meaning? I've been seeing baby planes for the last week and a half. It's always been enlightenment. It's always on my way to work.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Well, first of all, for our listening audience, we need to give some explanation as to what our brother is referencing. The baby planes. You know, the enemy, one thing about him, when he knows that an eventual reality will manifest itself, that he does not want the people to see or know the truth of, he will manage that reality. So for many, many years, through Hollywood, through TV, and through books, the enemy has offered the theory that these so-called UFOs, unidentified flying objects, come from other planets in the universe. But the reality of it is, these planes, or much identified, they say UFO, but they are actually much identified by members of the Nation of Islam as a result of the teachings and guidance of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. These are planes that were built by original people, one of which is called the Mother Plane. It's also found in Scripture in Ezekiel. It's called the wheel. And in the scripture, it talks about Ezekiel having a vision, seeing wheels way up in the middle of the air. The mother plane is a half mile by a half mile wide. And it has on it technology that is, I think it's a million years advanced beyond the technology that this enemy has. Now, that may sound far-fetched, but that's only because you may not realize that black people are trillions of years old. So having million years old technology is nothing far-fetched for us. These planes were built by original people for two purposes. One, to build, and the other, to destroy. This mother plane has in it 1,500 what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad called baby planes. Now, you've seen in Hollywood these so-called flying saucers, how they move, and their great technology. Well, this is real, only it's not coming from another planet. It belongs to us. And you're going to see them more evidently as time goes on, because they are tied to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and it's right there in the scripture that the wheels were tied to the Son of Man, and whenever the Son of Man moved, the wheels moved. They were present at the Million Man March. They were present wherever the minister goes, they go. And on those wheels, those baby planes, there's technology that the enemy can't do anything with. These planes can emanate a sound that will bring down all of the buildings of this world. On them are bombs. They call bomber planes. There's bombs that, with a drill on them, that when they hit the ground, they drill down a half mile and explode and bring up a mountain a half mile high, destroying everything in a 50-mile radius. Where do you think Hollywood is getting these ideas from? You saw Independence Day, how they drilled into the ground. Where do you think they got that from? They got that from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Now, these wheels are for the righteous. They're our protection. Why do you think that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is so bold? Because he knows that they can't do anything with them. And as soon as they put their hands on him, these wheels will go into action. So, yes, it means something. It means that the time is near, brother, because the enemy has to make his move. He can't sit idly by and allow the minister to preach and teach the bold exposure of the synagogue of Satan and the satanic mind and the secrets that Allah has revealed to him of what the government is doing and planning. He can't do that. He can't sit idly by. So he's going to make a move, and when he makes his move, Allah will make his move on him. So it means if you're seeing them more regularly, dear brother, it just means that the time is near. And for those of you listening, say, oh, that brother is just nuts. He just went crazy talking about some UFOs. You just don't know who you are. You just don't realize that you are from the God. You just don't realize that the white man is not the author of anything, not even himself. He's a made man. His knowledge is extracted from what we allowed him to learn. His science, his mathematics. He got it all from us. So that's what I think it means, brother, if you see him. I was blessed to see them when we were coming from Chicago. Several of them doing a little dance in the air. Beautiful sight. And when you see them, black man and woman, don't worry. They're there for your protection. This enemy can't do anything with the black nation. In fact, about it, if he wants to destroy us, and he definitely does, and when he attempts to do so, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that he'll only kill 300 of us, and we will kill all of them. Well, I know this devil is listening to what I'm saying, but that's okay. That's okay. That's okay. By the help of Allah, whatever happens doesn't happen except by the permission of Allah. And if Allah permits it and it pleases him, then we are pleased.
Yes, sir. Okay, Brother Leon, did he answer your question?
Question's fully answered, Queen. Question's fully answered.
All right. All praises due to Allah. Okay, Brother Leon, thank you for calling in on your lunch break at work.
Yes.
And we
thank
love
you.
And
love
we
you.
Have
I love
another
you
question. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll talk to you soon. We have another question from area code 561. 561, your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, Queen, and thank you, Brother James, for all that you have given this evening. My question, or something maybe I guess I'll say recap, you could recap in relationship to.
Can you identify yourself first, beloved?
This is Brother Joseph from West Palm Beach.
From West Palm.
I knew
that's
it.
My brother. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Joseph.
Well, alaikum salam, sir. Could you recap, if you will, in reference to the cause of an effect of a lie, please?
Okay. Well, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that a lie comes up out of the human being when he sees that, when he or she sees that her or his security is at risk. And the knowledge that the truth, if revealed, would cause them to suffer loss and a lack of security, the lie comes up out of it. That's the cause. So says the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The nature of the human being is to be made secure. That's our nature. And anything that comes against it or threatens our security, we will do whatever is necessary to protect ourselves. It's the fig leaf that is referenced in the scriptures in Genesis. You see? So that's the cause, our desire to protect our security. The effect of a lie is that it destroys the ability, however so gradually, of the brain and of the mind. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that when we lie, it is like planing a piece of wood against the grain, destroying the beauty and capacity of the wood. He teaches us that the universe is made or created out of truth. And so whenever we introduce falsehood and lies into that which is created out of the principles of truth, out of truth itself, it goes against the natural order of things. And it diminishes us as we are connected to this universe. And our power to draw from the universe is impeded by telling a lie. That's the effect of it. Ultimately,
yes,
If we continue to do it, we become devil.
Yeah. Okay, yes, sir. I'm following. So the Caucasian has to secure themselves by continue telling lies.
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, they do. As I said, all human beings, or as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, it is the nature of all human beings to be made secure. And anything threatening that security, we'll do whatever we have to do to protect it when it's in danger. However, where the Caucasian is concerned, lying is in his nature. In other words, the circumstances of his birth was and is such that lying went into the making of the Caucasian race. And Brother Joseph, you have message to the black man, right? We don't have time to get into it, but I would suggest that you go back and consult that chapter, The Making of the Devil.
Yes, sir.
All right. But that's the cause, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, to protect our security, and the effect is it impedes our ability to draw from the universe as it is made or created in truth, and it diminishes us as potential gods. And ultimately, if we do it regularly, we will become devils. That's the effect.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Brother Joseph.
Thank you.
Okay,
Salam alaikum, Brother Joseph.
We have time for one more question. Another question from area code 561.
Before we do, Sister Gidget, let me just say to those of you who have blessed us with your participation, your wonderful questions, I don't want anyone to think that I am arrogating to myself to be the question answerer. Again, I want to reiterate, I am a student in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and as such, there is so much that I have yet to learn. And so I don't profess to be able to answer these questions, but I appreciate your indulgence of me in my attempt to answer them. And if I don't know the answer, I will tell you, as I told the sister that asked about the four devils, I don't know, but we'll get the answer. I had to make that disclaimer, Sister Gidget. I don't want it to go out that Brother James is acting like he's the minister or something. No.
Okay, we're going to take this last question. Area code 561-360. Your mic is live.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam.
My name is Brother Jacoby X from the West Palm Beach Study Group.
Really? Assalamu alaikum, Brother Jacoby. That's
hey,
my brother. How are you, dear brother? Good to hear your voice.
I'm fine, brother. All praise is due to Allah, Brother James.
Yeah.
And it's just a question I've been going back and forth with myself for quite a while, and I think I spoke to you a long time ago about it. My question to you is, what is prayer? What is prayer? And what is prayer, and how should we approach prayer, or what understanding should we have of prayer?
Wow. That's one heck of a last question. Well, very simply put, prayer is our recognition of a supreme being and an originator and the giver of our lives and our faculties. Prayer is the remembrance of Allah. And as it is stated, the remembrance of Allah is the greatest force against evil. Prayer is recognition that we have or come from a source greater than ourselves. Prayer means that as independent as we think we are or can be, there's only one independent being, and that is Allah, the originator of the heavens and the earth, upon whom we all depend. Prayer is the process by which we come closer to Almighty God Allah. Praying, of course, in the right manner. Prayer is mandated on us as Muslims 5 times a day at the proper times and in the prescribed manner.
Yes, sir, Brother James.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
There's so much more, and I get the sense that maybe in my answers that something is missing that does not necessarily satisfy what you were attempting.
No, sir. You answered my question. Are you really answering my question? Because I can see into what you were saying concerning prayer. And I just want to say something. It just touched on something earlier that you talked about with the honor of Elijah Muhammad in terms of methodology.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome, Brother Jacoby, and we miss you on Saturday, dear brother.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. I definitely try my best to be on, dear brother.
All right, beloved.
May
Allah bless you. Give everybody my love and greetings. Give Brother Philip my love and greetings, please.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Jacoby.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, sis.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, I'm just going to say this, okay, I don't know why y'all doing this to me, but our show is only 2 hours long. I'll try to extend it. I have to talk to Brother James. I have to talk to Blog Talk because we got about 30 more questions. So, as we so often do, I'm going to allow Brother James to give you his Twitter address, but also if you have questions, you can email them to Y as in girl, B as in boy, live. That's YGBLive@gmail.com. And I will email him all of your questions if you like. Or you can hit him up on his Twitter account, and he will answer your questions. So don't forget to tweet him. He's not a heavy tweeter, but if you tweet him, he will answer. So,
yeah,
Brother James, before we close, I'm allowing
wow.
you to give out your Twitter address again.
Right.
These are latecomers, I guess.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Let me know when you want me to give it out.
Yeah, go ahead now.
Okay. It's at JM Region 7 Helper.
Okay. And the 7 is the number 7.
Right. It's the number 7. And I want to say I am really humbled. I was soliciting your participation, but I thought much of what you would share would be comments. This is the first time I've ever had so many questions. But it's a great learning experience for me. And I pray I pray that the answers I gave, well, I'm pretty sure they were on the money, because we're taught not to answer if we don't know the answer.
Yes, sir.
And I'm trying to repeat what I heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, what I read of what he wrote, and, of course, what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote in his books and taught us in his lectures. So if I'm off, I want to be corrected right away if I said anything that was not consistent with what those two men represent. Please don't hesitate to correct me, and I mean right away. Please.
Yes, sir. And I think what is going on, Brother James, I think the more that they hear you, the more comfortable they become. So they are beginning to ask more questions of you now. They were just checking you out for a while. So now they know who you are and they feel more comfortable. And we really thank you all for your love and support. And I have to give a shout out to my cousins, Tahia, and to my cousin, Bonsue, in Africa. Thank you for promoting our show. Thank all of the people in the Cameroon and in the village of Casimir outside of Nairobi. Thank you all for listening to us almost every day, any day that Allah provides you the opportunity. We love and appreciate you so much. Thank you, Brother Irwin, for all your support down in Belize. Thank you all so much. This is your network, so please know with the surety that you are always welcome to come on and suggest topics to us, or, you know, email us or inbox us and let us know if there's something in particular that you would like for us to address. We are here for you. This is what nation building is all about. It's about us coming together, working together as a family unit, because we are family up in here. So thank all of you. And Brother James, I'm going to allow you to close us out. And inshallah, Sister SRA said that she will give you a call tomorrow.
Okay, so she has my number? You gave it to her?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me say, first of all, how thankful to Almighty God, Allah, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for giving me, well, life, really. I don't know how many of you have heard my testimony, but if you've heard it, then you know when I say life, I'm not just talking spiritual life. I'm talking physical life. But without those men and their intervention in my life and in my affair, I wouldn't be here talking with you. I'm sure of that. I want to thank my dear sister, Gidget Muhammad, also known as the Queen of Blog Talk Radio. She doesn't subscribe to that for herself, but we will say it. Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, I want to thank you for allowing me this wonderful format of expression, of study, of teaching and preaching, which is my passion. I thank Allah for you, dear sister, and of course, our listening and participating audience. Where would we be without you? We wouldn't have a show.
Yeah.
So we're thankful to Allah for you. And we are honored and humbled and feel very privileged that you all would, week after week, take time out of your busy schedules to spend time with us as we discuss, talk about, and study and plumb the depths of the time and what must be done as given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't say it enough. All praises due to Allah.
All praises due to Allah. Okay. Join us tomorrow at 8 p.m. for Young, Gifted, and Black, of course. And I also just want to give a special shout-out to West Palm Beach, Florida. They all up in the house tonight. Brother Joseph was here. Brother Jacoby showed up. Brother Byron came out of the woodwork. So go ahead on, West Palm Beach. Y'all represented so well. And I cannot believe, Brother James, that Brother Joseph got on the phone, because he told me that if I made his mic live, I would get the silent treatment. So, we, you know, we are proud of you, Brother Joseph, for coming down front and center. Soldier, original salute to you, dear brother.
That's right. That's right.
And that's why I was laughing, because I was so enthused and so inspired that he really came out and asked this question, because he said he was just so nervous. So that is what this is about. This is about us coming together, learning, asking the questions. And if Brother James don't know, he'll tell you he don't know, but he will pursue that information for you. So once again, thank you all. I'm going to let you go. I love y'all so much, I don't want to go. So, but thank you all once again. Thank you, Brother James, for an excellent, excellent lesson tonight. Thank you for always bringing us that honest truth. And you are a magnificent student in the ministry of the Nation of Islam, and you are a gem amongst the FOI, and you are a star in the ministry and in the mission to help the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan gather our people. We love you and we appreciate you. And I don't want that to go unsaid, because you do not have to spend your Friday nights devoting your time to us away from your family and that grandbaby that you love to spoil so much. So I just want you to know that your time, your effort, and your service as well is much appreciated. So I thank you all, family. Good night. One
great
nation, one love.
Allah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem.